Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and thanks for tuning in today. I am Chris Sorensen.
And I'm Angela Bozo, and we are your hosts.
And we're so grateful for all of you who've been with us over the past 3 years of the Buyer's Desk.
And a big welcome to those of you who just joined us this year as we shifted to shorter weekly episodes.
So today, we're digging into the archives from our first two seasons to bring back some of our favorite conversations with natural food brand founders served up in that shorter format.
Thanks for listening, and keep tuning in each week for more stories and maybe even a few sneak peeks at season four coming in January 2026.
Hey, folks, I'd like to welcome Justin Gill, the founder and CEO of Bachan's, to the Buyer's Desk. Welcome, Justin. It's great to chat with you.
Chris, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, likewise. So folks, Justin and I are both in our Bachan's shirts. I'm in my, you know, nice white Bachan's hoodie, and you got your black Bachan's shirt on, which I love your guys' apparel. It's great. I sport it all the time. And I'm a huge fan of the brand, obviously, if I'm wearing your shirts. I love the sauce. The spicy skew is my absolute favorite, but I've loved everything you guys have made. So I appreciate being able to share the brand and the love with you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate all your support. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before the podcast started about that, just how cool this podcast and program is, because, you know, I don't get a chance to go around and visit every, you know, every member, every buyer like I would like to. So being able to tell our story here and send the messages out that we would like people to hear is a great opportunity, and it's an honor. So thanks.
Yeah. And we're excited to have you here to, you know, help give you that platform for that story. And I think it's worth talking about your company and the name, you know, Bachan's, for one. That's how it's pronounced, everybody. It is Bachan's. And for those listening, I think it's good to know what Bachan's means or what it stands for. It's a Japanese-American term of endearment for grandma. So it's sort of like granny in English, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's just, you know, depending on one's own family and how formal they are, they would say, you know, oh, Bachan, which is a more kind of traditionally respectful way to say it. And then, you know, my family's pretty casual, and so we just say Bachan. So it's like 50-50, I guess, probably in the country of people say either Bachan or Obachan. And in Japan, they say Obasan. So.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because I think that's the one thing is that we started working with your brand is like, we want to make sure that people are honoring the culture and pronouncing things the way they're supposed to be pronounced as well. And, you know, from just knowing you, watching some of the fun videos you guys do, you really love talking about that relationship with your Bachan. And it's so great to see that you guys have been able to work together. So I'm curious, with this being like her recipe, right, for this product, what are her thoughts and feelings about you releasing this product to the world? Like, was she giving her feedback throughout the process? And then I want to know, too, the connection back to the octopus logo. Like, that's just something that we're all curious about. So,
yeah, you know, our recipe, it's, you know, it's actually a multi-generational recipe. So, and, you know, my Bachan kind of passed it down to my parents and myself, my brother and my sister. And so, yeah, we used to get together, make a big batch during the holidays every single year. I go around with my dad and kind of give it out to clients of our family landscape business. And people would just go crazy for it. I mean, they'd be waiting for it every single year with empty bottles. They want the recipe or want to buy the recipe. So that's kind of how that all started. But yeah, my Bachan was, she's always been a big part of my life. I mean, she lived on the same property as us growing up. You know, she would cook us meals all the time. She had all kinds of recipes. And so, yeah, when I started, when I made the decision to kind of make it go for it, to bring, you know, our recipe to the world, really, and commercialize it, she is someone I talked to about a lot, and she probably did more tasting than talking. You know, I just want to make sure, you know, it tasted great, and it was honoring, you know, the recipe that we had I did talk to her about the ingredients and things to try to just educate myself on those as much as I possibly could. And, you know, to this day, she's still just a huge inspiration, you know, not so much like giving me feedback on the business or the sauce or the brand or anything like that, but just by the way she lives her life and has always lived her life and the values that she's helped instill in me and my family of just, you know, hard work, kindness, perseverance, believing in yourself, all those things that I believe you need to have a successful business or brand or really just, you know, be a good person in the world. So yeah, she's there for that all day long.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think having that support system is huge, you know, for anyone, but especially to, you know, launch a business it's not easy, you know, especially launching a smaller business, bringing something out into the world, having someone to look up to and provide guidance, whether it's character, you know, I think that's one thing that people often miss is character is such an important part of us as humans interacting. And like to have someone with, you know, amazing character to instill that in others, I think is phenomenal. So I really love hearing that.
Thank you. Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, it's my job to pass that down to the next generation with my kids. And then hopefully they just keep passing down the line because you're right. Character is extremely important. It's really one of the only things you have as a person, you know? And so, yeah, totally agree with that.
Awesome. So to go back to the last thing I asked, how did you guys come up with the octopus logo? Is there a connection with that or like, how did that come about?
Yeah, the octopus logo. So I actually have a tattoo of an octopus. You can't really see it right there that I got in Japan in 2017. And, you know, on that trip, I took my family, my wife and my kids on kind of a heritage trip. My wife's Cambodian. So we went to Cambodia for 2 weeks and traveled around the country with her family and learned about their culture. Educated our kids on that and let them experience that. And then we went to Japan after that for another 2 weeks. And that was my first time being there and really just seeing firsthand, you know, what the culture is really kind of all about, like why I am the way I am, why my family is the way they are, like just all these questions I didn't even know I had about myself were answered. It was just an incredibly inspiring trip. And on that trip, I really wanted to get a tattoo just to kind of just always remember that trip. And so I went to, a pretty famous tattoo artist over there and was persistent about getting in. He kind of shut me down the first day. And then I finally got an appointment with him. And this is kind of one of his like tattoos that he does. He does an octopus and he does it with kind of like a headband. And to me, that kind of headband symbolizes Japan. And so, you know, I just thought that would be an awesome, you know, logo for Bachans. And I've always loved octopi. You know, I'm a surfer, I like to dive, and it's, you know, octopi are just, they're incredibly intelligent creatures. And, you know, they're highly adaptive and all these things that you need in business too. So that's kind of the story behind it. There's a little more to it, but that's kind of the high level of it.
Yeah, that is super cool. Yeah, I know that there's a book that my wife read about octopi that she just like fell in love with them. And as the more she learned about their intelligence and, you know, just like how they interact with others and communicate, I thought that was really cool. So I'm glad to hear that there is this really deep like connection with that logo. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, no problem. Well, since you mentioned book, there's one more little part to it. So I was strongly considering using that an octopus for our logo. And then I walked into the office of the design shop that we used to initially create the brand. And right when I walked in, I looked down to the right and there was this really cool book with just like this awesome drawing of an octopus on it. And to me, that was just like the final sign I needed to kind of move forward with it. So
that's great. Yeah. It's when it's a reoccurring theme, right? It's just kind of like, it is those signs telling you this is the right move.
Yeah. I pay attention to that stuff. So.
Yeah. I think when you can be more self-aware, more present, you do start to notice those things that are all around us.
Absolutely.
So to kind of go back to the recipe, so I would imagine that, you know, the sauce that you guys have, that your family, maybe even your bachan, has other recipes or other things that maybe you guys did together. And I know from, you know, it being in the United States, you know, there's this huge popularity of like teriyaki or teppanyaki and ponzu, and people are familiar with those Japanese sauces. So I'm curious, you know, maybe what was the reasoning with going with the, and is it tare, I think is how Japanese barbecue sauce is called in Japan?
Yeah.
Tare?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, for us, I mean, it was pretty easy because that's what our sauce was. So it's just, you know, and, you know, like you said, in Japan, what our sauce will be referred to as is a tare. You know, there's also a yakiniku sauce, which is like, you know, used almost solely for barbecue and dipping, where a tare is a little bit more versatile, kind of like our sauce is. And we made the decision, I made the decision to take our sauce and then brand it here in the US because we are a Japanese American brand speaking to American consumers as a Japanese barbecue sauce, rather than giving it, you know, the actual name that it would be called in Japan, because Japanese barbecue sauce is just much easier to understand. And it's something that I think was new and exciting for people, but they could understand it. You know, we wanted to be, you know, with the other barbecue sauces, and wanted to eventually, you know, build a brand that would be distributed broadly. And so, yeah, that's kind of where that came from. But this, you know, the sauce was what it was from the beginning. You know, I just took our family recipe and kind of elevated the ingredients to it. I found the best ingredients I could in the world, but kind of stuck with very close to our kind of core family recipe and maintained the integrity of that. And something I'm really proud of.
Yeah, no, you should be. It's amazing. I love it. As far as what the brand is looking to maybe do in the future, I know you've released a lot of variations of the sauce. Like I think the newest one that I saw was like a sweet honey sauce, which I do have upstairs. Are you looking to also branch out and do more variations of the sauce, or are there any other condiments or like other types of sauces that you foresee Bachan's like branching out that maybe still have a connection to, you know, your family's lineage?
Yeah, you know, I would say absolutely. I mean, we're always working on kind of different variations or new flavors of our sauce. It's one of the things I enjoy most about the business is, you know, the innovation and the R&D side. That's, you know, I did that kind of pretty much, you know, all myself from the very beginning. And now we work with a team on that. And I work, you know, a lot with our COO, Nate Moore, on that, which is pretty fun. And so, yeah, we'll be coming out with, you know, with more flavors. I think for us, we're within our culture and who we are as a company, we're pretty disciplined, and we believe in simplicity and quality and like not just going and chasing everything out there. And we'll never be a brand that has, you know, 50 SKUs. I think we'll always keep things pretty tight, but we are working on some things, you know, other sauces and things in the background. And just how we kind of approach that is, you know, using very authentic, high quality, simple, traditional Japanese ingredients, and then, you know, producing things that are very well suited for how Americans use sauces and condiments, while still, you know, absolutely respecting where all those things came from. So,
yeah, no, that's great. Cause I think that's the one thing that I recognized from, you know, learning more about Bachan's, you know, both being the category manager for a while and going through, you know, some of the sales calls where we've talked in depth about the brand. You know, I enjoy, you guys have a great website that tells a really good story, and you always talk about how much your ingredients matter. And you talked a little bit more about, you know, kind of elevating that family recipe. I know you do some of your sourcing directly from Japan. So do you work with some maybe like small family farms or connections maybe you've made over in Japan on that, maybe that trip you went on? Or, you know, how do you decide what to source from Japan, what to source, you know, locally here? And then how do you feel like that benefits the end product?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. How we approach sourcing is we look for the best ingredients, you know, with the best production and quality control standards. And we really care about who's making those. And we have a personal connection, and we own the relationship to every single one of our ingredient manufacturers, even though that we, you know, work with a co-manufacturing partner, we still own the supply chain. And so, for instance, our mirin, which is a quintessential ingredient in Japanese cooking and really, you know, should be in any, you know, authentic kind of Japanese barbecue sauce. So our mirin, we get directly from Japan, And the same family's been making this mirin for seven generations. And it's a incredibly high quality mirin. It's used in, you know, Michelin star restaurants here in California. So it's not, it's, I wouldn't say it's your typical kind of industrial ingredient. So yeah, we kind of, that's just one example, but yeah, we kind of take that same approach with all of our ingredients, because what I found when I was coming into this industry, you know, knowing nothing about it, having really no experience, is that your ingredients really do matter. And I learned that from testing all different kinds of ingredients and seeing and tasting and kind of feeling the difference that they made. And so it's something that I thought that was overlooked, and something I thought that, you know, would be a competitive advantage for us, on top of just, that's just the right thing to do in my mind. So, you know, our ingredients matter tagline, I shouldn't even call it a tagline, it's something that we live by here, but it's that came about from, you know, early on, I was kind of courting this co-packer that I really wanted to work with. And, you know, they just really didn't want to give me the time of the day, but I was persistent and kept working. And once I figured out how to, you know, how to make our sauce cold filled, and I found all the ingredients, and I have this formulation, this recipe that works and was just incredible. I brought it to him and said, hey, look, I figured this out. You know, our ingredients are absolutely amazing. And he just stopped me right there. And he said, listen, your ingredients don't matter. Because I'm going to be telling you the truth here. Your ingredients don't matter. All that matters is how much money you have, you know, to market this product and build this company. And I just said, and I respectfully disagree with that. And I walked out the door. And so for us, that's kind of where that the meaning behind that comes from.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, when you have an interaction like that, I think you probably realize pretty immediately that that's not the business partner for you, you know, and that really got you to understand, like, okay, this is our mission. Ingredients do matter, and no one's going to tell me otherwise. So I think to have the legacy of that, you know, is a really strong message on just what you stand behind, you know, with putting this product together. You mentioned something cold filling, which I'm curious to hear more about, because the research I did around cold filling, you know, I saw that there was some benefit, you know, especially on the natural side. We really appreciate when there's no additives, preservatives, and other additional flavorings that are needed, you know, for that product to exist, which cold filling kind of, that's some of the benefits for it. With the aspect of, you know, hot filling being the alternative, I'd like to know, how did you land on this process for the sauce? And then how does it affect maybe the final flavor and quality? And then I'm curious to maybe hear the business partner that you then ended up working with.
Yeah, I mean, this also just kind of came about from really just being kind of like a neophyte in the industry. Is, you know, what I didn't know kind of helped me not be held back by the way everything else was done. So, you know, and I really just wanted to, I knew how we made our sauce at home, and that was with a, you know, somewhat of a, it was a cold filling process. It wasn't, you know, the exact process we use today, of course, but it was that, and I knew that it could work. And I knew from testing, again, that same co-packer told me, you know, that I would need to pasteurize the sauce and then add water to it to bring the cost down. So I tried that, and that totally changed everything about it. And so that's really what sent me down kind of the long rabbit hole of trying to figure out how to make the sauce cold filled and without using any added water or preservatives or any of that stuff. And yeah, so that's kind of what started it. You know, I did study science in school, so I have a little background in that, and I do have somewhat of a obsessive personality, you could say. And so once I kind of locked into that's what I wanted to do, I just kind of went after it, you know, and it took multiple years, and then I kind of finally figured it out. And during that time, I really just developed an even greater respect and love for, you know, what a sauce can be if you don't pasteurize it, you know. And there are, you know, there's many ways to do things. You know, this is just the way that we do it. But what happens when you heat something or pasteurize it, there's kind of like a state change that happens at the molecular level. And those things create changes in the flavor profiles. And then, you know, to stabilize those things, you know, you have to add preservatives. And then when you heat something, that state change also maybe creates a need to add some flavoring to recreate those flavors that were changed in that process. So the cold filling process just helps us bypass all of that stuff and just bring a product to life that has the flavors of the ingredients in their most natural form. So, and then also one other little benefit of it that I think people don't maybe know, but they love is, you know, a lot of barbecue sauces, when you grill with them, they'll burn and kind of blacken, and you know, doesn't do that as much. It does if you, you know, if you kind of mess it up, but it's because, you know, the sugar hasn't, it's cold filled. And so like the first time it's being caramelized is when you cook with it. And so that's kind of an added benefit for those that use our sauce for grilling or barbecue.
That's cool. Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to have to try that out when grilling and give that the test. You know, one thing when you were talking about, you know, your growth and just, you know, what the future of Bachan's might be, I've read that you were very inspired by Hoi Fong Foods, Sriracha, and their kind of quiet method of growth. So as you grow, I'm wondering, is this kind of still your strategy? Because it really does seem to be working for you now. And the interesting thing is, I'm here in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. I was just watching local WCCO news, like literally earlier this week, a couple days ago. And they had the local like Lions Club smelt fry. You know, they had the person there like talking about it, and they had condiments lined up. And then they had a jar of Bachan's. And it's the only condiment that they actually had the bottle out that they were showing. And like every shot from the camera person had Bachan's on it. So I was like, okay, that blew me away. How did you do that? I think it's probably people just love the sauce so much. You know, everything we've talked about probably explains why people connect with that sauce. But that just makes me think like this quiet kind of level of growth. You don't see tons of ads. You know, when you guys first launched, I saw, you know, you on YouTube quite often, you know, spreading it all over pizza and things like that. But yeah, what's your strategy going forward? And how do you guys see kind of the brand evolving in this channel?
Yeah, our strategy from the beginning has been, kind of quiet growth. I mean, we were bringing something completely new to the market, and I knew, you know, it was a really good product, and I felt that people would love it. But I also knew we didn't have a ton of money, and there was bigger companies that if they saw that, you know, we were building something and it was catching on, they could potentially come in and compete with us when maybe we haven't had enough chance to really build the brand and distribution everything yet. So that was kind of the thought from the beginning. It's really just kind of who I am as a person. It's within our culture for sure in our company. I mean, I think we have a lot of very talented, confident people in our company, but we're very humble and it's just, I don't know how to describe it, I guess. There's no there's no one in our company really like beating their chest, you know? And so we just who we are. So it kind of naturally happens. But yeah, I think we do marketing, of course. Like we run digital ads, and that was very successful for us from the very beginning, and we still do that. But what's so amazing, I think, and I think the example you just gave is a great one of this, is that, you know, we get so much organic love and people sharing content for us that, you know, we haven't even had to do any like paid influencer stuff. We just started doing that stuff this year, but every day there's 20, 30, 40, 50 people that are just posting about Bachan's, you know, every single day. And that's, I think, where the magic happens with a brand. If you get that, we just ran a consumer and brand study. And what we found was that, you know, our number one form of marketing, the way people find out about Bachan's is word of mouth. So it's not, you know, TV ads or radio or even digital or press, it's word of mouth. And so that's something that you really can't buy. And so that's just something that we've, I think, built and encouraged by just, you know, trying to build the best products that we can and trying to build a brand that people can kind of see themselves in and relate to. And even at like the retail level, like we put a lot of emphasis on, you know, being the best customer, I mean, we can to our retail partners too, always being on time and full, things like that. So it's just all across the board.
I love that. Yeah. You said you're kind of struggling to say the words, but I feel like I've heard throughout this whole interview, you know, talking about, you know, culture is huge, discipline, and just really humble, focused attention and awareness and kind of presence with what you guys are doing. And I think it is that feeling and that focus that gives a brand like solid movement and solid foundation to work from. And I think it is when you're like chasing dollars and chasing things, that's where things can kind of get out of control. But if you kind of stick to your mission and your focus and what's important and have that discipline to do so, I think this is the outcome, right? This is what we see from brands that can do that and that can do it well. So it's really great to hear your story. And then, you know, for me to have seen the brand from kind of its inception to see how good the growth was, even just from infra, you know, you guys were like within that first year, you were growing like hundreds and thousands of percent month over month and, you know, year over year. And it's like, wow, this is crazy. And of course, you know, for me as a category manager, it's like, yeah, I want to work with that brand. I want to find out more. What, you know, what are they about? Well, I want to try this product. Then when I tried it, you know, I got the hoodie from you guys, which I appreciate. And everyone in the office, like, you need to try this. You need to try this. So yeah, I guess I, you know, me and then, you know, the category manager now, also named Chris, that works with you guys, wears his Bachan hoodies to work, you know, shares the sauce throughout the office. So it's, you know, the infra office and, you know, we're all about the brand. So it's, I'd say your consumer research is, you know, we see that in a micro sense at our office.
That's amazing. That's where it all starts. I mean, you know, we owe a great debt of gratitude to, you know, Infra and all the members. We built this brand in the natural channel, you know, and that was by design. That's how we wanted to build it. That's still how we launch a lot of our products today. And yeah, we, you know, of course we've grown and expanded outside of the natural channel, but we put emphasis on making sure we always remember where we came from and taking care of our customers that helped get us to where we're at. And at the end of the day, people shop in a lot of different places. So it's awesome just to be able to be wherever our customers are. And so, you know, Infra's, you know, still a big part of that. So thank you for having me on here. And thank you to all the Infra members out there too. Appreciate you guys.
Awesome. Yeah. And thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure hearing more about your story and learning so much about you and your family. And I'm excited, really excited to see, you know, what the future holds for you and for Bachan. So thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.